Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres wrap up their series in Atlanta with an early game. So early, Jesse Agler can't hardly believe it.
That's incomprehensible. That is mathematically unbelievable.
Also in the studio, we've got Randy Jones, who's hopefully recovered from his big, huge work weekend to do this early show today.
How many shows did you do over the weekend?
One.
You did one of the three?
Yes.
Well, you really worked your butt off. Congratulations to you.
Yeah.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
Why am I not sleeping? What's going on? It's 8 o'clock in the morning. No, I know, I don't. You're right. I literally have nothing better to do. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Padres Social Hour. We're at Petco Park, which will be rocking this weekend. Padres and the Dodgers coming up. Right now, though, all quiet except for the AMR studio, which is all lit up and ready to go because RJ's here, Blooper's here, Becky's here.
We're having the Potter store's quiet.
Yeah, no, nobody. The store's not even open yet. We had to break in. Can you believe that? We had to break in because
gonna start serving breakfast in the Padres store here pretty soon.
Becky was very nice. She brought donuts and coffee
everybody.
She's a lovely person to do that. Blooper ate all of the donuts before we could get to them, but that's life.
I know. I got here early and had a half a donut.
Oh, you snuck a half.
I did.
You got it in under Blooper. Well, hey, good morning. This is the earliest Padres Social Hour we've ever done. So whatever. Who cares? You got a baseball game at 9 o'clock, and it's a big baseball game for the San Diego Padres. You don't want to drop 3 out of 4 in Atlanta. After that first game of the series, at Turner Field, you felt really, really good about the Padres, right? You had the great come from behind win, you're cruising. Heck, after 5.5 innings of game 2, you felt really, really good.
Really good.
You're up 5-0 with James Shields on the hill. But ever since the bottom of the 6th and the second game of the series, things have not gone the Padres' way.
The last 13 innings have not been Padres baseball.
No. So today kind of feels really big. It does. And I'm not about to do must win on a Thursday 9 a.m. game in Atlanta on June 11th.
I sure hope not.
But it would certainly feel a lot better to win this game than to lose it. Happy flight back. All right, you split there. You took the first series in Cincinnati, and you sort of survived the road trip. And they obviously made some headway, too.
Well, remember, your goal is 500. If you win today, you're one game over 500 on the road trip. You come home, make hay at home. That's what you're supposed to do.
Well, the hay is not going to be coming easily this weekend. The Dodgers are here, and then Oakland is here for 2. It's kind of a quick 5-game homestand for the Padres. They're playing one of those home-and-away series with the Athletics, Monday, Tuesday here, Wednesday, Thursday.
Do you call
there.
That a 4-game series?
I do, actually.
I do.
I had a whole argument with somebody about this last year when the Mariners and the Padres played the 4 straight. And the argument was basically, I said, it's one series. And the other person said, no, it's not, because it's in 2 different places. I go, well, the World Series is in 2 different places.
Ooh.
And he had nothing to say. I consider it one series.
I agree.
So for the A's. But we're getting way ahead of ourselves talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday against the Athletics of Oakland.
Let's just worry about today.
We won't even talk about the Dodgers yet. As exciting as it is that L.A. is coming here this weekend and that you've got Kershaw on Friday night here, I mean, it's going to be an electric few days at Petco Park tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday.
They got a big chore, like you say. You got Kershaw, Friday night. Grinke Saturday night.
Yeah, that guy.
And Bowles.
Bolsinger.
Bolsinger.
Who's got like a 2 ERA.
He almost one hit us last time.
Yeah, no, I recall. For the Padres, it'll be Despaigne, Kennedy, and Shields Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So Sunday will be a Shields day. That's always fun. And if you don't have tickets yet, might I recommend you get a couple for this weekend because it's going to be a lot of fun here. But as you said, first things first, a 9 a.m. start in Atlanta. And, of course, it's 9 a.m. for us. It's 12 noon for them. But this
It's 9 a.m. for Cashner.
Yeah, even after this amount of time?
I don't care. You can't trick yourself, man. I've done that before.
Yeah.
Getaway day, you got a day game in Atlanta. I can remember doing this and going, oh, my goodness. I knew it was 9 o'clock in the morning when I felt like a B game in spring training. Nobody was awake.
You're out on the backfield. There's nobody there.
That's right.
Yeah, there's one umpire. It's like that kind of thing. All right, so there's a roster move today to talk about as well, and it is really, really good news on the front end. Will Myers is back. Not only is he back, he is in the starting lineup. He's leading off. He's playing center field. It's been, since May 10th? A month since Will Myers has been in there for the Padres. And obviously, you know what he brings, you know, from a statistical standpoint. But there is undoubtedly an energy that Will Myers brings to this lineup, to this bench, to this team. And I don't think there's anything but excitement if you're a Padre fan about Will Myers being activated off the disabled list today and being in the starting lineup.
Yeah, and it's great to see. And, you know, right before our big series this weekend, I just like that. It kind of, you know, closes down that 25-man roster, that everyday lineup. We'll get an opportunity. Show the lineup a little bit later in the show, a couple of adjustments, but still, great to see Myers at the top of it.
Absolutely. So Will Myers leading off, playing center field, as you said. We'll get to the full lineup for today's game in a couple of minutes, but we do need to talk about last night, a 4-1 loss. Also, by the way, the draft has concluded, the 2015 Major League Baseball draft, and the Padres scouting director, so the guy running the whole operation, Mark Connor, is going to come down and visit with us.
Oh, great.
He's up early, too. He's probably already getting going on the 2016
draft.
He's
been pretty busy and still is busy.
Yeah, it doesn't really stop for those guys.
No.
It's unbelievable. Maybe like Thanksgiving, you take a few hours and you eat with the family. But outside of that, it's like they're just constantly watching baseball and evaluating baseball players. But Mark, nice enough to take a few minutes out of his schedule to join us coming up at about 8:30. So he'll be here with us, which will be fun. We can kind of recap the draft with the Padres scouting director. But a 4-1 loss last night. I have determined that I will call this the BABIP game from last night. You know that one, batting average for balls in play? Because the Padres hit the ball hard all night and ended up with 5 hits. The Padres didn't have success hitting the ball hard. The Braves, meanwhile, I don't think they hit one ball hard all night, ended up with 14 hits.
Yep.
And is it one of those, like, Mama always said there'd be days like this? I mean, is that all you can say?
It's the game of baseball. That's why we keep showing up, Jesse. And, yeah, once again, you're absolutely right. We did square up on some, you know, balls. I thought, you know, Williams, Perez, you know, pitched a ball game, good ball game. But we squared up on a lot of them, just right at them. Made some good plays and seemed like everything that, you know, Tyson Ross and the staff, you know, every time they're going to flip something up there. I mean, you know you're in trouble when you hit a number down the third baseline and it stays fair right on the line, you know, for a base hit.
Yeah.
Now you know that something's going on.
And, you know, Cameron Maybin going back, making that great catch in center field. Didn't Markakis have a nice catch last night?
Yes.
And it's like, Markakis?
That was early in the game.
Yeah, like defense, Markakis, yes. You know, I mean.
Killing all the rallies is really what it did. But, you know, any time you're leaving 6 runners on base for an entire game, I think you go 1 for 5 or 1 for 6 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
You're not creating enough opportunities.
There were a couple little ones.
Little.
And there were some hard hit balls, but they did not go. And the Braves, it was the complete opposite for them. Tyson Ross really had to battle. That's kind of the word that was in my head as I'm watching him pitch last night. He got through the 6 innings, but it wasn't an effortless, you know, 6
no.
innings for Tyson Ross last night. He had to work hard to get through those 6
yes,
innings.
Yes, he did. You know, some double plays got him out of some situations.
Yeah.
Not the kind of start you'll want.
No, certainly not. And then there's Andrelton Simmons. I'm glad you're here today. The fun thing about this show for me is that, you know, with the rotating crop of co-hosts, you know, different guys are not that you guys all can't talk about everything, but, you know, when there's talking about the way a pitcher throws at a guy, maybe, I don't know, it's nice to have you here. You know, I mean, I could talk about it with Kurt or Bill or anybody else, but with you in particular, this is nice. What went through your head when the ball went behind Andrelton Simmons, a little bit of a dirty slide the night before, and gave a knee to Derek Norris? What was the first thought for Randy Jones when this took place in the bottom of the second?
I jumped up. How do you miss the guy? That's my, you know, hey, you're a major league pitcher. You know, I'm in the world. Send a message. You know, what upset me is one thing. I get it. You know, number one, we don't work in a lot as a team. Darren Balsley doesn't preach, you know, pounding inside, knocking guys down. That's not his M.O. And I get that. Overall, you gotta be able to do it, you know. And when you missed him the first time, you know, what really rubs salt in the wound, though, is why didn't you do it the second time? Get it over with.
Well, you don't want to get ejected.
Oh, why not? I mean,
why not? Because it's the second inning of a game that you're trying to win.
Did he get warned?
No, but
he's not going to get ejected.
Even after throwing behind him, if he hits him, you think that's the warning?
He should have warned him then. You know, and I'm not saying hit him the second time. You know, but at least have the ability to knock somebody on their keister.
So maybe
a little
high and tight.
You're right here. You know, get his
little Sal Magley.
Get his uniform, the back of his uniform, all dirty when he flattens out on the ground.
Yeah, that's
just
what you're
to let him know
for.
That we don't appreciate what you did the night before. But, you know, they go ahead and serve up a base hit. Now, are you serious?
Yeah.
You know, and he hit it to right, you know, right field.
At the moment, my great fear was that is going to be the difference in this game. And that ended up not being, you know, not being, which was good. But, yeah, it was a little weird. You never know if the guy's trying to throw behind him or actually trying to hit him. A lot of times guys turn back, and so that is how you hit them. But you were looking for more a little bit of, like, the brushback.
Well, I think the next inning you saw how to do it.
With Upton?
Yes.
I didn't think that was intentional. I know that makes me, like, one of a thousand. I don't think Upton getting...
You're buying that act that Perez put on the mound?
The guy's got no control.
Serious?
The guy's got no control.
How many times had he gone in there?
Two previous.
Yeah, not even close to where that one was.
Yeah, but the guy's, like, walked a million guys his last couple of times out. He'd already walked a couple in this game. I mean, it certainly looked bad.
What a coincidence.
I know, it's coincidental.
Are you serious?
I don't know.
Get real.
I mean, I'm all for Upton being upset about it.
I mean, I wouldn't forget about this, you know.
Well, we see them again at some point.
I would not forget about this.
Yeah, all right, so you're going to file this one away.
I would.
Baseball players like elephants.
Yeah, we don't forget.
No, yeah.
There's some payback somewhere along here.
Okay. Were you surprised anything else didn't happen last night?
Yes.
How about no warnings after Upton got hit? I was pleasantly surprised by that. I was surprised, but in a pleasant way.
I just kind of grinned. I said, well, guess you still got one bullet left because you're going to warn you first. You know, so. But, you know, whatever the decisions were, but you got to. Kind of let's know how to knock somebody down.
Yeah.
I mean, when you throw behind a guy, that didn't even scare him.
But at least he did something, right? Yeah. Or is that stupid to say?
That's stupid to say, to be honest with you.
This kind of nonsense is part of what makes baseball my favorite sport.
Well,
is that we could sit here for 10 minutes the next day and talk about the ball going behind somebody's butt.
What do we have to do? You know, when you do a bullpen, why don't you work on your knockdown pitch a couple?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Have somebody stand in there.
Yeah, stay in shape.
Get one of the bat boys. Hey,
in here. Put the catching gear on. Come down here. I want to drill you a couple times.
Yeah, just stand there and we'll right between the numbers.
You know, all you're doing is throwing a two-seamer, especially for a right-hander. Little two-seamer on the inside part of the plate.
Yeah,
you
just kind of tails that way.
It just kind of runs into him.
Yeah.
So later he's going to fall over.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah, yeah. Blooper, you know, he's a huge Mike Piazza fan. And before the show, we were talking, and he was reminded of the first time the Mets faced the Yankees after Clemens threw the bat at Piazza. Was it that, or was it after he hit him in the head?
It was after the bat.
He was after the first time.
Sean Estes.
And Sean Estes was pitching, and he threw behind Clemens and missed him. And he got, like, killed by the New York media because everybody wanted him to hit Clemens after
Clemens. He should have got killed.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a major league pitcher, and you miss him?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. interesting stuff. All right, so we'll see if it's over or not.
We got plenty of time. Let's just win the ball game.
That's it. That was kind of the primary objective last night. Wasn't accomplished.
You can't walk into Atlanta and lose 3 out of 4. Come on.
No, you can't.
You know, if you're gonna compete, you got to win this ball game.
The best part, though, about all of that happening last night, even though it didn't necessarily go, you know, the way we all wanted it to go, was that we got to see highlights of the 84 brawl in Atlanta.
Yeah.
That was the fact that I liked that Fox had those ready. That was very good producing by Fox Sports San Diego. They were ready to go.
Oh, there's lots of footage.
Oh, yes, there is.
Oh, yeah.
There were a lot of brawls.
Oh, man.
It's probably, and I mean, we've talked about it 1,000 times, it was probably the greatest brawl in the history of baseball. At least in televised
history. Got to be the longest brawl.
Because there were 3 separate incidents, right?
Oh, it was beautiful.
Crazy. So these two teams will meet again in August here at Petco Park on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the 17th, 18th, and 19th of August. So I don't know, maybe get your tickets now for that 8-17 game between the Padres and the Braves, and we'll see if, like, Freddie Freeman takes one in the butt. Who knows?
No, who knows?
Who knows? All right, we'll take a break, come back, take a look at today's lineup. Will Myers is back, talk about all of that. Plus, get to your questions. Hey, I got to remind everybody, you can use the hashtag PadresSH to join our conversation on Twitter. You can also go to Padres.com/Social Hour to watch the show and chat with other fans. Early morning edition of Padres Social Hour, getting you ready for the final game of this series. Andrew Cashner on the mound in Atlanta, first pitch less than an hour away. Meanwhile, the next party in the park is coming up tomorrow night as the Padres face the Dodgers at 7:10 p.m. The party starts at 5 and features $5 food and drinks plus live music. Get tickets at the Petco Park box office or at Padres.com/party. So you got a 7 o'clock game tomorrow night, and then right out there at the park starting at 5 p.m., the party at the park. We'll take a break. More Padres Social Hour right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. Hope everybody's having a lovely morning so far. First pitch in Atlanta scheduled for 9:10. Emphasis on scheduled because guess what? The tarp is out on the field.
No.
Randy Jones is here and the Padres scouting director, Mark Connor, is here as well. We appreciate him coming down and spending a few minutes with us. How have the last few days been for you?
I've been pretty good. Been busy.
I imagine so. First year as the scouting director for the Padres, but you've been part of this organization for several seasons now. And as scouting director, you're pretty much overseeing this draft. I mean, this is your baby. This is your project. It was your first time in that role. How'd it go? I mean, obviously, we'll see on the players. Now the development fund, you know, begins for these guys. But did you enjoy it, I guess? That would be the first question.
Oh, yeah, definitely enjoyed it. I mean, a different vantage point of the process. I mean, looking at it instead of from an area scout's perspective where you go find the guys, and in this role you really have to decipher what the area scouts are telling you, what the regional guys are telling you, and taking a lot of information, blend it together to make the right picks.
Lots of people involved in these decisions.
Yeah, and I would expect when you have the 51st pick, like we were talking about, that could be pretty interesting. That means there's going to be 50, you know, baseball players drafted before you even get a pick. So I assume that you still got to go through the whole process of your number one guy right down your list, you know, until you at least get to 51 or whatever number magical number you want to take, you know, and I'm sure it goes deeper than that. And then you got to decide, you know, who's left available. When you get to your pick, you know, like you say, hey, if your 21st guy that you were thinking about, you know, is available when you get to 51, I think it's pretty simple, you know.
Correct. And I mean, what we when we go through the process, we lined up, I want to say, 75, our top 75 on our board, you know, from the first guy that we would have taken if we had the first pick overall through the 75th pick. That would have been our draft order. And as we kind of got down to the lower ones, it was from like maybe 60 to 75, they were more in like little groups of like two or three guys that were close to each other. Hmm. That as it came a game time decision, we would discuss and make the pick there.
That's the hardest one. If you got three guys that are kind of bunched up in that area,
correct,
then you got to, you know, depending on position, what you're kind of looking for, you know, with all the trades and everything, you know. Of course, they let you do the draft and they give up two picks. Nice going.
Yeah.
You know, way to go. Way
exactly.
To make you look good.
Exactly.
You know, but overall, the overall draft, though, you talk about, you know, the 75 maybe top guys you have. I mean, were you able to get a couple of those, though, through the draft?
Well, I want to say we got four guys that
that's
were in the
great.
Top 75.
Wow.
All right. So
that's really good.
Yeah, no, that sounds very, very good. And you just sort of alluded to it, Randy, the challenge that A.J. Preller presented you in your first year as a scouting director. No first-round pick, no lottery, whatever. No. We'll wait till 51 and you can have at it. So let's talk about number 51, right-handed pitcher, high school kid from Boynton Beach, Florida, Austin Smith. We talked to him on the show the other day. We spoke to his high school coach. So we've kind of gotten a little bit of the scouting report from their end, but maybe from your end and what the organization saw in Austin Smith.
You know, throughout the past couple of years when we've seen Austin, he is a big physical young man that's going to get even bigger. He is, you know, got three pitches that, I mean, just jump right out of his hand. Delivery and arm action work really, really well together. I mean, he's one of the best starter packages as far as aesthetically looking at him that we had in the draft. Then you add in the size, the durability for him to log innings. We saw a starting pitcher all the way. And, you know, our area scout, Willie Bosk, did a tremendous job on him. And getting to know him, getting to know the competitive spirit of him, getting to know just how passionate he is about the game. And that was truly a separator for us beyond just his skills on the field.
It's funny you mentioned about the way it looks because, you know, we've got a little bit of the scouting tape here. So, and obviously I'm not a scout, but it looks very effortless, you know, watching him throw. When you hear that he can get it up to 96 and he's just sort of, you know, throwing it up there, that's got to be kind of an encouragement.
Well, and also you got good mechanics and he duplicates really well. Mm-hmm. On the mound. Just watching four or five pitches, you can see the young man has some. And then like you say, through your area scout, getting to know the young man personally, what kind of person is he? What kind of teammate is he? And I know you guys do all of that as well, getting to know some of these players. And I think that's pivotal and very, very important, especially these days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, physical ability is going to take you so far, but the makeup side, the inner drive, the passion for the game, that is what separates guys and allows them to play out here in the big leagues.
Yes. That's what gets you to the major leagues. If you can handle it mentally and make those adjustments, that's the really big difference. And it's exciting. I mean, even myself, I mean, kind of all go through it, and you finally get drafted. You're still chasing the dream that you've had since you're a little boy playing in the backyard. And I still get goosebumps sometimes when I see these kids get drafted. I don't care where it's at.
Yeah.
They're going to get an opportunity to play professional baseball. You know, and you can take it from there. Then you're on your own. You got to go out and make it happen.
We had the great video the other day, Blooper had it, of the family and friends reaction, you know, for Austin and everybody there. I think they were at one of his assistant coach's houses who had a big house. And,
get
mom and dad and the hugs and all the family, friends, and teammates. They were hanging out there. And obviously an incredibly special moment for Austin Smith and for this Padre organization. All right, so let's move to the second selection the Padres made, which was in the third round, Jacob Nix. And he's the guy that got caught up in this Brady Aiken mess last year for the Astros. Fifth-round pick in 2014, now third round here in 2015. It's not often, I think, that, you know, semi-casual or semi-serious baseball fans will have heard of a guy, you know, being taken at that point in the draft. But because of last year, we had heard about him. But maybe a little bit more on this right-handed pitcher.
Yeah. I mean, Jacob is, again, another big physical man. You know, over the past couple of years as we scouted him, he is he's continued to progress with his ability to throw strikes, and his breaking ball has improved. Unfortunately, you know, for him, he had to go through the situation last year of getting drafted, wanting to sign, ended up not able to sign. Fortunately for us, you know, he was back in the draft and we were able to get him. But this is a young man that has some drive to prove some things, because he's ready to start his pro career and ready to go out and prove, like he was last year, how good he is. And he's a, you know, 6'4", 220 or 230-pound man that is up to 95, 96, has a breaking ball and a really good feel for his changeup. So you put him and Austin Smith together, that's a good 1-2 punch to start off the draft.
Mark, and you talk about a lot of these kids now. Some of them had Tommy John surgery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm curious, you know, how you evaluate that. I mean, is Tommy John surgery not so much of a negative, might have been 10 years ago. Or now, I mean, you know, with the recovery from that and what you see, you know. But it's still got to be a little bit of a tough decision when you got some of these kids. Hey, like Aiken having it and still getting drafted. But are you rolling the dice in that scenario a little bit?
A little bit. And a lot of it, our trainers and our doctors do a tremendous job of, like, researching, like, who did the surgery, what the rehab was like, when did they start the throwing program. Necessarily, the surgery is not necessarily the worry. It's what they do in the rehab process. Because if they come back a little bit too soon, then it is tends to have more issues. If they go, I mean, you have, like, you know exactly what they did throughout the process, then our guys feel much safer about the timeline and, like, how the recovery process goes. Because the track record is, the sooner you come back from it, the more likely you are to have it again.
Good point.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Mark Connor is here, the Padres scouting director, providing us some insight on the recently completed 2015 Major League Draft. Has 2016 planning begun already?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I mean, we got a couple guys going out tomorrow, and some of our area scouts are already out seeing games today, and actually they were seeing stuff last week. So
yeah, and you get the summer ball. I mean, you know, your college kids are, you know, out playing, you know, during the summer, so you got to get out there and check them out.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's going to be a busy summer.
Any priority as far as position players? Was there an emphasis on what you're, you know, when you look at the overall, you know, minor league facilities and what we've got? I mean, were you looking for infielders up the middle? Was there you're always looking for pitching. I'm not even going there, Mark.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
You know.
No, yeah, I mean, you're right. We're always looking for arms. And but, like, positionally, you know, we tried to stay up the middle of the field. You know, traditionally, you work the middle of the diamond, you get your athletes there because they can always move to the corners.
Yep.
The guys that you draft in the corners a lot of times can't move to the middle of the diamond. So, I mean, looking just for the athletes that can stay in the middle was, I don't want to say it was a priority, but it's in the forefront of our
it's
mind.
It's in the process. It's definitely there.
39 players selected by the Padres, Randy, 23 of them pitchers, 18 of whom were right-handed, six okay. outfielders, four
how many
catchers.
How many left-handed pitchers?
23 minus 18, six.
Come on. Only six?
The lefty's not
happy. We
need
some left-handers, man.
Actually, five.
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 Oh, my 23 bad.
23 minus 18. Five.
I can't do math.
It's early in the morning, man. Three. We can't do that.
Yeah. I haven't had enough coffee.
Five left-handed?
Five left-handed pitchers. 20. I'm glad I can do
Come
basic
on.
Arithmetic, by the way.
Hey, there's not many left-handers out there.
Still.
Yeah.
That's what makes you special, though. Yeah. If there were 23 lefties worth drafting, you wouldn't be special. I like your brown vest, by the way. I just noticed that.
Thank you. Yeah, I went brown today.
Yeah, I can see.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, absolutely. Hey, I'm Mark Connors, the Padres scouting director. He can subtract 18 from 23 much better than I can. He also just drafted the class of 2015 for this team. Thanks for coming by. I appreciate it. Congrats on getting through this one. And, hey, good luck in 16.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, that's Mark Connors. We'll take a break, come back, get to a bunch of your questions that are coming through. Remind you also that this Sunday at Petco Park, Kids Fest returns. You got the bounce houses and all the other inflatable action games and face painters and balloon artists. You can get a giraffe made from a balloon. What else could you ask for? All the kid-friendly activities. Get your tickets today at Padres.com and bring the family down for a fun-filled day at the park this Sunday. Padres and Dodgers. Take a break. More Padres Social Hour right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Big thanks to Padres scouting director Mark Connor for stopping by. A couple of things about what he said about the draft that kind of stood out to me. One was that they got four guys in their top 75.
That's good.
Selected. So, you know, they rank their dudes, and that's how many they came up with. And I think the really good question, and somebody on Twitter kind of picked up on it and asked, I think it was Wonko from Gaslamp Ball, said, I wonder how that compares to other teams. So, like, you know, generally speaking, in a given draft, how many of your top 75 is realistic to get when you have about the number of picks that the Padres do? And, yeah, you wonder. No way to know, obviously, how many, you know, of the top 75 on their board the Dodgers got. But, you know, it seems like a good number. It sounds good to me, 475.
And every time you see a high school kid, you don't know. Jesse, you know, he's got two options, obviously. He's got some talent. So he's got an offer to go to college.
Yeah.
Or he can sign.
Yeah.
You know, and so many factors going on even after the draft. Because they do have that as a backup.
Sure.
And I think overall, then you know, then all of a sudden mom and dad can get involved. And
yeah, you never know.
That's not enough money, you know.
You never know.
That type of thing. And they have to go through all that and try to get these guys resolved, sign, you know, get them into the system. Or, you know, once again, if they decide to go to college, they stay on the radar. You continue to watch them over the years and
that's it.
Stay in contact with that player.
They don't fall off the face of the earth.
No, they don't.
There's no question about that. I would think, though, that Austin Smith and certainly Jacob Nix will end up signing with the Padres.
I would definitely think that.
The first two selections. I'd be shocked if not. All right, so appreciate Mark Connor for stopping by. 39 players drafted by the Padres, 23 pitchers, 18 of whom are right-handed, five of whom are left-handed.
Five left-handers.
Six
Still.
Outfielders, four Gosh. Catchers, three shortstops, a first baseman, a second baseman,
and
a third baseman. But now the draft is done. You know what that other D is? There's two Ds when it comes to this stuff. There's draft and develop. And now that second one becomes the primary focus.
That's exciting. That's the exciting part, I think. And I'm excited about the core of guys they have and Sean and AJ and everybody that's involved in that development. I think that's really taking a step forward to get a little bit more out of that. And that's what we needed to do. And I think this organization has done that really well.
All right. So now it's time to develop these guys. And we'll check in a couple of years and see.
And plus you're excited because Smith is from your backyard.
Yeah,
apparently.
Yeah. We grew up near each other. Same high school as Trey Turner. How about
that? That is amazing.
Right? Last year's first-round pick and this year's first pick in the second round were high school
that
teammates.
Should have been a pretty good ball club.
For the Padres. Number one in the nation this year at one point.
I was going to say.
Yeah. No, they've been churning. The high school's only 11 years old. It's like a new school. And they've football and baseball, tremendous.
They're getting it done.
They're getting it done at Park Vista High School in Boynton Beach. It was nice talking to Larry Greenstein, the coach, the other day. And it was neat hearing him talk about Austin Smith. He took his job very seriously, not just as far as winning games, but his caring for this guy. It's, you know, he kind of referred to him as a Ferrari, and he's like, you just want to rip out of the garage and go 100 miles an hour around the block, but you can't do that. And, you know, he talked about protecting his arm, not letting him pitch more than once a week, all those things you want to hear, certainly, when you're scouting a kid from a high school coach. So that was
That's
pretty
great.
Cool. All right, so back to the Major League team. We're on early because the game is early, at 12:10 first pitch in Atlanta, which is 9:10. Scheduled first pitch. Have a look at this. Oh, guess what? In Atlanta, the tarp is down on the field. How lovely. So we'll kind of keep track of the weather throughout the morning in Georgia. Patrick Kurish, who works in our communications department, he sent a screenshot earlier to me on text of the hour-by-hour weather in Atlanta. So 12 o'clock game, right? At 1 o'clock, I think there was an 80% chance of rain. At 2 o'clock, there was a 0% chance of rain.
That's Atlanta.
At 3 o'clock, a 70% chance of rain. Three straight hours, 80%, 0%, 70%.
That's where you need a Randy Jones pitching.
Just get it done.
Hour, 45-minute game.
Just squeeze
get
it in.
Get the heck out of here.
Cash can do
he
it quickly.
Can get it done now.
Yeah. Couple you tough know, starts for Cash.
Well,
last few
you
times
the question, you know, to me is Cashner, you know, kind of gone away from the two-seam fastball that he really liked, you know, and what is he going to do now? He struggled last time out trying to – I think he's right in the middle, and he's got to make a decision if he's going to try to pitch to contact more or go more for power. You know, but I have a feeling he's going to probably try to go back to that two-seamer a little bit more, not give up on it yet.
Certainly makes sense.
It does.
When you saw him have that great start against the Tigers last year, a lot of two-seam there.
Oh, man.
I believe the same for the Pittsburgh, you know, one-hitter from the previous season.
And the other thing that I saw was a really good breaking ball that he used. Didn't use all the time, but, you know, it sets up his other pitches. And I really haven't seen that really good solid breaking ball for strikes that I know he can do, and I think he needs to use that more as well.
All right, so Cashner will have some support, of course, from the other eight guys in the starting lineup. A different
looking. You know what I really like, too, is Mark didn't want his donut.
Mark, he passed on the donut?
Yeah, so I ate it. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, it worked out nicely for you. All right, the lineup for today, along with Andrew Cashner, we mentioned Will Myers has been activated off the disabled list. He will lead off and play center field. The lineup is always brought to you by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Venable in left is Justin Upton gets the day off. Kemp will be in right field after his night off last night. Second time in this series, we see Yonder cleaning up. Norris slides down to number five. Spangenberg, another start at second. Middlebrooks, another start at third. Amarista at short. In support of Andrew Cashner today. There's no doubt here. The lead is a leadoff man. Will Myers being in there in center field.
Three Wills in the lineup. Like it.
Uh-huh.
That might be an omen.
Where what? There's a will, there's a way.
Like this.
Will come back.
I like this a lot.
I can go all day. We got some questions about how Will Myers will be used. We'll get to those after the break. Real quick, though, before we step aside, you know Bobby Cressy, the organist here at Petco Park, great guy. You know, I had heard about this, but I had yet to see it, so I'm glad he provided us some photographic evidence. Look at RJ this weekend at the Hotel Del looking good in the cowboy hat.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm loving that.
Oh, my God. He hands of a gala over there at the Hotel Del and had a little country western theme to it.
That you can do that.
Yes, sir.
That's in your wheelhouse.
That is good.
Look at both of you guys can pull it off. Everybody can pull off that hat.
Oh, it's great.
But you and Cressy pulled it off. We still got to get Bobby down here to play the organ on the show.
Good idea.
When Taylor Swift comes, he can accompany her.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll set that up, blooper. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco's proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We'll take a break, come back. A lot of questions coming in about how Will Myers will be used. We'll get to those when we return. Padres Social Hour from the AMR Studio.
Welcome back to the AMR Studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. A little overcast here in San Diego, but that's better than Atlanta where
the
it's
tarp.
Raining. The tarp, the four worst letters in the baseball language, T-A-R-P. Oh. You know what tarp is short for?
Negative.
Tarpaulin, I believe, is the full word. And I'm glad we shortened that. Whenever that took place, I'm glad that we did that.
TMI.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, right? Yeah, a little bit too much. Yeah, a little bit. I apologize. Randy Jones is here. Thanks again to Mark Connor, the Padres scouting director, for stopping by, talking draft with us. It's always fun to hear about these kids. And then, you know, if things go well in another 2 years, maybe,
and
we get a chance to see him at big league spring training.
And, well, you know, you're going to see probably see him before that. You know, your top pick. Is,
he'll
come here to San Diego.
Yeah.
Introduce him to the organization a little bit. And that's always great, you know.
I
like to see those kids. That's exciting.
The crazy thing is when you get that guy who kind of flies through the system every once in a while, you know, like Trey Turner, you know, for instance, is that – and obviously it's a little bit of a different situation. And the rumor, by the way, is that Sunday is the day that he can officially become the player to be named later. So Trey Turner may only have like 3 or 4 more days in the Padre organization if that kind of pans out the way it's been reported that it will. But I remember seeing Trey Turner last year come here after he signed.
That's right.
You know, he took BP and it was like, you know, he looked like he was 11 years old. But then he was in big league spring training this year and handled himself really nicely.
Really well.
And all of a sudden he's in double A. And, you know, sometimes that happens.
And then all of a sudden, not here.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
That happens, too.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. All right, the hashtag on Twitter is PadresSH. Pointer Dave on Twitter. This is fair. It's a little bit of a shot, but it's totally fair. Yeah, no, I might need some help with math. The count has his math textbook out for me. And, yeah, no, I screwed up 23 minus 18. That's what happened. I said 6. It's actually 5.
Well,
for future reference, 23
minus 18.
I wasn't
8. Even listening. I'm in another world.
That's your
morning.
Excuse for not noticing that I don't know how to subtract. I appreciate you not throwing me under the bus.
I'm the co-host, man. I'm in your own cruise control. Yeah, you're the host. You know, I like it. I'm talking baseball.
We were talking about the weather. We also mentioned Patrick Kirsch, who works in our communications department at the Padres. He is in Atlanta. Hey, Jesse, you got 3 more hours of material. Very funny. Here, little known fact. Padres Social Hour, not responsible for rain delay programming on Fox Sports San Diego.
And aren't you a fortunate?
Poor Pomerantz and Sweeney are actually more responsible than we are. Once this thing ends at 8:57, it's off to them, and they've got it from there. So Dick and Mudd and Chris in Atlanta, combined with Mike Pomerantz, Mark Sweeney, and that entire Fox Sports San Diego crew, they are responsible
they're on their own.
For filling those rain delays. I'm sorry, but not. Sorry, not sorry, Mike Pomerantz?
I just hope that phone doesn't ring here in the next – you know,
it can't.
Minutes.
No. This is a we have our 57 minutes. That's it for social hour. We're off the clock.
Really?
I got to go to the office upstairs, man. I got to get to work.
Oh, stop.
Start my day. I can't do it.
They told you to stay another 30 minutes. Guess what?
Yeah, no, I know.
We're parked. We're right here.
I'll do it.
Okay.
But I'm just saying we're not. It's not our responsibility. They got enough stuff. You saw the other night that 50 minute delay at the beginning. I was like riveted to the television.
They anticipate real well that there might be rain delays in certain cities.
Yeah, no, particularly this stupid one.
Yes.
All right, so Andrew Kashner versus Julio Teheran today. He's sort of, you know, he's one of these up-and-down guys. He's been up his last couple of starts, though.
Yeah, and well, his last start, you know, a little bit of control problems. But, you know, overall, he's typically really good, really bad. 4-2, ERA's up a little bit, you know, but he's got electric stuff, got electric arm. And not afraid to, you know, never one of those power arms. He's going to be in the mid-90s with that fastball, and he'll throw that two-seamer. Likes to run it up when he gets ahead in the count, see if somebody will chase. So, you know, once again, that guy you need to be a little bit patient with. You know, don't go fishing.
Yeah.
Because he'll let you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do some tweets here. Aztec Allen will be up next. We'll hear from Allen on Twitter. He says, hey, no, enough of this. We are not doing the rain delay.
I can bring coffee. What a guy.
That's very nice of you, Alan.
You know?
What time? The store doesn't even open until 10. We had to break in at 7. No, it's look, here. We're here if they need us. They don't need us.
No, I don't think they're going to need
us.
They
got this thing covered.
I think they have it all.
Appreciate your enthusiasm for the programming, Aztec Allen. Cody is on Twitter, and Cody brings to us a conversation about today's starting lineup and the lineups of the future, and he wants to know if we think Will Myers will be playing third base anytime soon.
No.
You're flat out saying no.
I mean, you know, why do you guys want to fix something that ain't broke?
Well, he's trying to find space for all these guys.
Lord.
I like Cody.
I don't
like his question.
I don't like the – I can't see Myers at third base right now.
You know what? I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say yes.
Right now.
Right. I don't mean today. I just mean we saw Jerko and Barmas at first base in the same game the other night. Anything is possible.
Okay.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Don't put me on the mound, though, until he has about a month's worth of ground balls over there.
Sure.
you know.
But he, for all we know, he's been taking ground balls there.
Jesse?
He takes ground balls everywhere, by the way.
We both know he hasn't been taking that many ground balls at third base. Not stupid. He didn't want to go over there. He likes first base. He likes center field.
But Alonso's playing well. Venable's playing well. So Cody is saying, hey, let's get them all in the lineup at the same time. I would imagine the second part of Cody's question, if it were there, would be, well, then you could just slide Middlebrooks to shortstop, because we've seen that a little bit. I'm not suggesting it's something you should see every night, but sometimes you want to get those bats in there.
Okay.
You're saying no.
Well, there's a little bit more just an offense in this game.
No, I know.
You know? You want to see your starting pitchers go five, you start putting that lineup out there every day.
Yeah.
You know, eight runs, you know, 12 hits, nine errors, and the Padres lose.
Hey, pitch better. Don't let them put the ball
in
play.
Catch the ball. You know? Oh, Lord, here we go.
Bradley, one last quick Twitter question before the break. He wants to know, basically, same kind of thing, how Buddy's going to shuffle the lineup now that Myers is back, too. So center field, first base, bench, he's got to mix it all up.
Yeah, it's not fun. In this scenario right now,
yeah,
it's a tough call, but you gotta find that winning formula and stay with that lineup.
All right,
that's it.
We'll see.
Let's get it done.
Ride the hot bat. Is that kind of what it comes down to?
You bet. The hot hand plays.
Yeah, whoever it is. Okay. Do you know an all-star mom? Well, Arm & Hammer and OxiClean, the official laundry detergent and stain fighter of Major League Baseball, are going to recognize one all-star mom and send her and her family to the 2015 All-Star Game in Cincinnati. Go to allstarmom.com and tell us what makes your mom so special. Diego tweeted, by the way, I'm not a fan of Will Myers batting leadoff. You got to tell us a little more. Why not? Why not? All right. Take a break. Come back. More Social Hour right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Pointer Dave on Twitter came up with a brilliant idea. He's got a Padres Social Hour branded calculator.
Really?
Yeah, not a bad idea. Might want to keep that one handy.
I want to keep that real handy.
23 minus 18 is 5. Guarantee I'll never forget that now.
You know what, Jesse? Let's just stay away from the math for the rest of the show.
All right, we'll do what we can. There's a lot of numbers in baseball, though. Sometimes it can get tricky. Hey, I got to put you on the Cholula hot seat.
Got it.
All right, so activate. You're on the Cholula hot seat. Will Myers activated today. That's the good news off the disabled list. Kevin Quackenbush option to AAA El Paso. He was, of course, back and forth so many times last season. What do we make of some of this bullpen? It was going really, really well for the last couple weeks, it seemed like. And then in Atlanta, maybe not as well. What do you make of the overall inconsistency from the relievers this year?
Well, it concerned me earlier in the year, and then they got into a little bit of a groove. And in a couple of games, I'm not going to hit the panic button. Kelly, just had trouble with the slider all of a sudden like he had earlier in the season. You know, Benoit makes a mistake down and into a left-hander, which, I've already preached enough about. You just can't do. But overall, you got to be kind of happy with the way the bullpen has happened. And remember, a lot of times Quackenbush getting sent down is not a direct result of maybe his performance, rather that he has options.
Yeah.
Where Kelly doesn't have options.
Right.
If you try to do something with Kelly, you're going to lose him. Unfortunately, Quackenbush has an option. So he goes down and you got a fresh arm in Nick Vincent right now, which I think you need. I think Buddy, feels comfortable with that.
Mitigating factors.
Yes.
It's not
really
just about performance. You got to look at all
totally
that stuff.
It's not totally about performance. It's about the total, business part of it as well.
And that's a huge part of it. It's kind of like the draft, signability.
That's right.
Is almost as important sometimes as, talent and what you think of a guy.
I never got drafted out of high school because I told everybody I was going to college.
Right.
And I was not going to sign. And I never got drafted. I didn't care.
Yeah.
Because I was going to go to college.
All right, nice job. Randy on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. We were joking about having to fill rain delay time. Not our responsibility. Friar Fever on Twitter said, hey, if you guys are responsible, I'd like to see Jesse versus Randy in a game of Battleship.
I like this.
Oh, that's riveting television.
Uh-huh.
We'll wrap up Social
Hour.
We'll
be by ourselves, man.
Right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, wrapping things up on this Thursday morning. I like the 8 a.m. show. I could get used to the 8 a.m. show. Now that my coffee's kicked in.
I definitely, sure.
I'm like, hey, let's do another one.
It's 9 o'clock. It started at 8, remember?
Yeah, no, that's
I don't
right.
Know.
But hey, this was a lot of fun. Again, the tarp down on the field last we heard in Atlanta. But stay tuned if you're watching on TV to Fox Sports San Diego. Mike and Mark will get you ready for this game whenever it's going to start. Could be on and off all afternoon in Atlanta. So you never quite know what's going to happen with the weather there. Our Supercuts head-to-head challenge, you and Seth each get to pick somebody from today's starting lineup. Who goes first today? Randy does. All right, RJ, who you got?
Derek Norris.
Are you taking Derek Norris, the catcher?
Derek today.
He's batting fifth. Blooper, who you got?
Will Myers.
All right. Yeah, how do you not go Will Myers today? At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Hey, I'm off Social Hour the next 5 days. I'll be doing the games on the television.
What?
That'll be fun. Ben Higgins tomorrow at 5:30. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the morning.